NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
All right. Welcome to another episode of The Close Up. I'm your host, Stephen Cameron. This show is a part of the Orlando Magic HQ podcast network. I just want to first off say thanks for your patience on us getting this episode out. I know I was supposed to release one last week, but due to some scheduling, it's happening this week, which will overlap, I believe. Al and Ant will also be releasing a show later this week, which will be great. But this week's episode is all about the Orlando Magic offseason capabilities with the salary cap and player extensions with Keith Smith of Spotrac in the front office show. Keith is an awesome guest. If you guys were listening to the show, we had him on just before the trade deadline to kind of talk about different trade deadline scenarios that the Magic could see and their power around the trade deadline. So we have a very similar conversation about the offseason the Magic have with team salary cap, league salary cap, new CBA implications for the Orlando Magic and the league and how that will work. This show will inform, fans that are already deep into this type of stuff. And if not, it's a great introduction for fans that don't pay attention to it, but want to know more about how the Magic can potentially spend their money and what resources they have this offseason to improve the roster. Keith is a great guest. He's very knowledgeable about this. He's basically the senior editor for Spotrac.com, which is where I go to get all of league and player and team contract and salary cap information. And then he's got a show for called Front Office Fridays, and then he's got a Substack, which we get into. All those are linked into the show description. And if you want to follow along, I'm also linking the Orlando Magic Spotrac 2024-25 homepage, where you get into player contract salary projections and Magic cap space projections. So you can kind of follow along the show that way if you want to open that up. Before we get into the conversation with Keith, I just want to remind you all, we have a Instagram subscription program. It's $5 a month and it gets you a lot of really cool benefits. Go to our Instagram and go to our pinned post. You will see all those benefits right away up there. And then this show is presented by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one source for all summer sports, including MLB, golf, NBA playoffs, and NHL playoffs. All the latest stats, news, scores are available to your favorite teams at any point in time. Get the latest odds and lines, including the latest team matchups, player props, odds on just about every sport out there. It's pretty amazing how much information, and not just information, but like news and bets that you can place through Bet Online. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Bet Online, where the game starts. Then also just want to give a shout out to our good friend, Brandon Kravitz. He's done an awesome job covering the Orlando Magic this season. He is a part of 96.9 The Game. He has a podcast called The Zone Heads Podcast. If you're looking for more than just Orlando Magic news, but you want to listen and learn more about UCF, Orlando City, you know, the Solar Bears, like any of those types of teams, any Orlando Magic or Orlando centered sports information, you know, he even talked about rumors of, are the Rays going to move to Orlando? He talks about all that stuff. His podcast releases 4 episodes a week, you know, very small, bite-sized 5 to 10 minute segments from his radio show and other private interviews that he does. And it's a phenomenal place. So tune into the Zone Heads podcast on any of your preferred podcast listening platforms. The Magic are in their offseason. They obviously got eliminated in Game 7 to the Cavs, and Keith and I just get into all of that. So enjoy the show. This is a good one. And again, shout out Keith for jumping on the show. If you're not following him, go ahead and do that now. And please like and subscribe to this podcast. Give us a review if you can. All right. Enjoy the show. All right, everyone. Like I said, we got Keith Smith of SpotTrack. Welcome, Keith. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
I appreciate it. It's good to have you back on the show. Last time we talked, it was around the Magic trade deadline, kind of looking at what sort of movable contracts the Magic would have then. We took a peek at, you know, some projected players. Obviously, the Magic didn't really do much then, but the season has since ended for the Magic, and we know so much more information about this Magic team going into the summer about needs and sort of, you know, we saw the conclusion of a lot of player performances and stuff like that. And listeners, like I mentioned in the beginning of the show, like this show is all about, you know, the Magic spending power this summer, kind of the type of moves they can make, different types of contracts, you know, implications that they need to take into consideration for this summer. And there's no one better to have this conversation than Keith, in my opinion. Unless you're talking to Jeff Weltman's cap guy on his team himself. And that guy probably really wouldn't give us much information realistically on where they're thinking. So Keith is probably the best person. Keith, man, before we get too deep into this conversation, you know, we finished the end of the season. Now we're watching the Celtics and we're watching the Wolves. And, you know, the second round is about to conclude today for many teams. And let's just look back on the Magic season. How did you enjoy it? How did you think it went?
Yeah, awesome. Really fun team. They all the signs from the, what I like to say, were the final two thirds of last season, because the first third was a mess and shocking, right? When you have no healthy guards and you're asking a rookie power forward to initiate a lot of the offense, it was pretty messy. But the final two thirds, the Magic played really well, played pretty competitive. They were competitive into March, the beginning part of April, and that was good. This year, the hope was, all right, step forward, try to make a play-in tournament or something like that. And they were even better than that, which is great to see, you know, that they took not only a step forward, but several steps forward. Now, what I always say is, coaches will tell you going from bad to good is one thing. Going from good to contender is a whole other thing. And the latter is a lot harder to do. But great season for the Magic, good individual growth from several players, great team growth. I think Jamal Mosley learned a lot of important lessons throughout the course of the regular season and in the playoffs with different things that he had to do and adjust to. And now, you know, we're in a spot where the future's as bright as it's been here in a decade and a half, I would say. I know there were those couple playoff years, but even then, I think most people were kind of like, you know, this – okay, we're happy to make the playoffs again after not for so long, but that team had kind of reached its ceiling.
We knew what that team was going to do.
Exactly, yeah. This team, we don't have any idea what the ceiling is because all the pieces aren't even in place to try to determine that yet, which it makes this even more exciting.
Yeah, it's fun. I've kind of tried to compare this to, you know, like explain to my parents who – they'll tune in for some games, but very much the definition of a casual like Magic fan. And I'm like, when you look back at the, you know, 2019-2020 season with Vooch, you're looking at a guy who was like in his late 20s, maybe hitting 30 around that time, and, you know, was at the best of his ability and was barely an all-star, right? And now you're looking at a team that is built around a person who is 21, second year, who made an all-star. And it's like, there's so much more room to grow. And it's just, it's really fun when you think about it, because like, you're right, we have no idea what this team ceiling is. And like, we know obviously first round is a floor to an extent, right? Things could change a little bit next year. East could get more competitive. Like next year, getting to where they got this year isn't necessarily, you know, confirmed for sure, but it would be it would be very surprising if they didn't at least make the first round. You know, and they, if anything, they should be better based on experience and, you know, some potential roster changes. Did you get to go to any games this year as media, and how did it feel when you were there? If you did go, how did it feel this season compared to like past seasons? Cause I know you've gone to many, many games over the years covering this team to an extent.
Yeah, funny enough, the only time I caught the team, even though I live in Orlando, was when they were on the road. I actually saw them twice on the road. I don't go to as many games anymore now that sure. I'm covering the league as a whole, because I'm trying to watch stuff. And ultimately what ends up happening, and I'm not asking anyone to shed any tears for me, don't get me wrong, because I love what I do. But if you go to a game, you're there basically by the time you get there, it's 4:30, 4:45, 7 o'clock tip. Game ends at 9:30, but you don't, everybody has this perception, right? Cause when you go to a game as a fan, game ends, you walk out and you leave. For media, you have to do the post game stuff. Then you're doing waiting for the locker rooms to be ready for you to talk to players and the like. So it's on an early night, 11 o'clock, on a later night, maybe midnight before you're out of there. And at that point, you've missed basically everything going on that night. So then that turns into I'm watching a bunch of games at night and those kind of things. So that's just a long answer to say. I only caught them twice in person, both times on the road. I think they were – you could tell this group loves each other. You could tell they like playing together. I was around them a little bit more non-game time. But you could just see they're really relishing growing together. From the coaching staff through the players. This is a group that has really kind of figured it out together with this. And they say it a lot, but more than saying it, they show it a lot, which is really important. I think that part of this makes that much more fun, because we see sometimes teams come in and they go from being a bad team because they have a ton of cap space, maybe one or two okay players, and then they kind of take the mercenary approach. They sign a bunch of free agents. They trade for guys. And that's fun, too. Don't get me wrong. Nobody feels bad if that team wins a bunch of games. But when it's kind of your guys, your homegrown guys, are building together and going and winning those games, it just feels more important. And I will say this, the attachment the city has to this team is way different than anything that I've felt really since the NBA Finals years with Dwight Howard on the roster. That was the last time I felt like the city was fully invested and behind this team. It was so cool on the playoff days. I went out on one of them to do groceries in the morning. I was at Publix, and I heard two separate places where it was a kid, probably, I would say 12, 13, and then one was a guy who's probably about 35, 40 years old, two separate times, like, we got to hurry up. We got to get back because I don't want to be late for the game.
Yeah.
And that's just so cool, right? Like, that's just a different kind of environment. You saw a lot more Magic gear out and about around town. You saw a lot more people with, like, the car flags and all that stuff that people get fired up about. So that part's really a lot of fun.
Yeah, Keith, so it's interesting when you, like, look at all those types of things that you mentioned. I've had to tell some fans, you know, on Twitter and just in the community, it's like, we really have to enjoy this season as it is, right? Because the feel-good vibes are never going to feel the same with this team as they are, because this year we didn't really have expectations. The expectations were be better than last year, show competitiveness, and you know, make a play-in. Well, they exceeded that. We were having to adjust our expectations and our standards for this team the entire season, because they just kept getting better and better. And then it was like, hey, okay, you're not just making the play-in. Like, you have a chance to make the playoffs and avoid the play-in. Oh, you have the chance to be a home court advantage team. Like, they were games away from being a home court advantage team. It went down, you know, for the listeners who might not have known how close it was, like literally home court was being decided the last two games of the season that the Magic played. And even I think the last game, depending on other scenarios it, with other teams winning or losing, like they could have been the fourth seed, you know, at one point is potentially as high as like the second seed. Now that was a little bit more of a reach, like a lot of things had to go right. But that's how much this Magic team changed expectations. And now that we've kind of seen this and they've established a foundation, like our expectations are going to change and their expectations are going to change. It'll still probably be a fun vibe and a fun culture, but there's going to be different demands from us as fans and media and them as teams. So it's going to be a little bit of a different vibe. And obviously some roster stuff could happen that would make it. I don't necessarily think that the team will ever not be like in the next couple of years. I don't think they're going to go from this fun loving culture to this, like, you know, downer, super like serious, like that's just not who they are. That's not who Coach Mosley will allow them to be. But there's just going to be a different feeling to an extent.
Yeah, I completely agree. It's the climb is always really fun, especially when it happens faster than what anybody expects. But yeah, once you're there, like you said, now there's real expectations. No one is going to be super happy if they fall back into fighting in the play-in tournament next year. Everybody's going to be, hey, get there. One thing I always caution people, this came up a lot. We're recording this after Oklahoma City season ended. And one of the things that I said last night with the Thunder is people like to think young team, bunch of flexibility, you know, the future is super bright. And it is, but it is not linear. It does not mean you're going to everybody improves on the roster and everybody sticks around and it all goes great. There, I've just watched the NBA and covered it for too long now to know sometimes things go wrong. Sometimes there's an injury. Sometimes somebody gets unhappy with a role. Sometimes something happens where, hey, I was the number two and you brought in a new guy ahead of me. And now, you know, where is this at? Are you not committed to me? Sometimes one guy gets paid and another guy doesn't. Things can go super sideways. And this is where it gets very crucial for teams like Oklahoma City, who's basically a year ahead of Orlando in kind of that curve. And then Orlando, because you have to be really cautious with the way you build this out, because it is extremely fragile. It is not a guarantee we're just moving forward with, all right, now, you know, they were the fifth seed, so next year they'll be the third or second seed, and then it's, you know, title contention time. That doesn't necessarily mean that that's how it's going to work out. We all hope that's where it goes, but, you know, it's now – now the hard work starts, if you will.
Yeah, totally. And like, you know, I will say one difference between the Magic and Oklahoma City Thunder is like they have an established like 26-year-old in SGA who's got years of experience to help them get to this point. The Magic are relying on a 22 and a 21-year-old to kind of take that next step. So it's like we're changing our expectations to guys who have hardly stepped foot into the league and to an extent, you know, compared to, you know, SGA, who I think this is year 6 or 7 for him. And then, which is kind of wild to think about, you know, he was in the same draft with Mo Bamba. And then, it's just different. So I really much enjoyed it. I'm glad you did too. It was a really fun season. And I'm glad the fans did too. It's like, I've gotten so many texts and phone calls from random people in my life that are like, man, this team's great. And they know I'm a diehard. So it's, you know, what do you think? You know, it's been fun. Keith, all right, so let's get a little bit more nerdy where your head lives and my head loves to live too sometimes. And let's talk about the Magic and their power this summer and kind of the moves they should make and just kind of their salary cap and some of their player contract situations. Before we get super specific into that, there was a new CBA agreement that went into place about 2 years ago, if I'm remembering correctly, and it was a slow roll. This was the first year. Okay.
This was the first year. Yeah.
What are some of the major differences between the old CBA and the new CBA that teams like the Magic and just the league in general have to take into consideration when building a roster? I'll just leave it at that. What are the things they have to take into consideration when building a roster?
Yeah, the simplest way I can say this is the NBA had been operating for a number of years now with a handful of teams way up here. And for those only listening, I have my hand up around the top of my head. Then you added a bunch of teams operating down here. And this hand is down much lower. What this CBA was designed to do was bring those expensive teams down, bring the lower spending teams up. It's never going to be even where everybody spends the same, but just bring people within range of each other. So what I think even casual fans understand, because they've probably heard the term second apron, right? What that second apron was designed to do was take teams like the Warriors, the Clippers, what the Nets were becoming, and make it so they couldn't just continue to spend. We were at a point where those teams were going to be in a position where between salary plus tax penalties, they were going to be spending $500 million on their rosters. And the NBA, not because they care about the $500 million, it was more about, hey, we can't have the Warriors re-signing, trading for guys, and then going and adding like Dante DiVincenzo on top of it like they did a couple seasons ago. They also didn't want it to be a position where it is, hey, you can stack up salaries, go trade for another star. The next thing you know, these teams have 3-4 star guys that make $40 million each, and that's how the rosters go. So what they did was they introduced a series of penalties on those teams beyond just financial ones. The financial ones actually get more severe a year from now. So those will kick in one more year. But the roster building penalties really kick in this year fully. So a team that is super expensive like that, they are basically limited to re-signing their own free agents, signing their own draft picks, signing players to minimum contracts, and making trades, but trades that are way more restrictive than anybody else in the league. And what I mean by that is, you can no longer take a player who makes $15 million and a player who makes $5 million and go trade for a player who makes $20 million. That's not allowed. They can't aggregate or add together those salaries in a trade. They are in a spot where what they have to do is, you could trade a $20 million player for a $20 million player, but you cannot put yourself in a spot where you say, we're going to add up salaries, stack them together, and go get a guy. You also are limited to, you can only take back in a trade as much money as you send out or less. So send out $20 million, you could get back a $15 and a $5 million player and have two for one that way. You could do it in the reverse way, but you can't send out $20 million, use that little buffer that always exists in trades where it is, all right, you can take back $23 or $24 million. That's no longer allowed. They've eliminated that. So those are kind of parts one and part two with that. The second part, what they did, I talked about how they're trying to push teams up. So if we remember back a couple years ago, we had like the Indiana Pacers and the San Antonio Spurs, $40 million plus under the salary cap. And they're everybody's favorite third teams in on the trade machine because it was, oh man, they're not going to want to, oh, dump them on the Spurs with a draft pick. And there we go. And that kind of thing. Now what the NBA has done in the new CBA is they've said, we are going to force you to spend your money in the summertime. Or what happens is on day one of the regular season, if you're $20 million under the salary floor, you get an artificial $20 million cap hold put on your books that brings you up to the floor. So you can no longer sit millions of dollars under. Because what was happening was that was actually taking money out of the system, because the Spurs sitting on $20 million in cap space, they'd go into the regular season, some team would say, man, we got to dump a $20 million player. Spurs would take it, but that $20 million player has already been paid. So what happens is now they want that $20 million, spend it. Spend it on a free agent. Spend it, you know, another way. Spend it in a trade with a team, so that opens up a signing exception for that team, which introduces more money into the system. So that's what we're trying to do, is push everybody a little bit closer to the middle. It's going to work for some teams. Some teams, Boston, Phoenix, Milwaukee, Denver, though Minnesota's coming up on this. They've blown right through that second apron. And then we'll see. And that's going to be something where we may need 2-3 years of full fallout from this to see how does that really work. But that's the basics of what this new CBA has done to try to curb spending on the top end while forcing teams to spend.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
On the other end.
Well said. Beautifully explained for me and for a lot of people that might not know how things have shifted with the new CBA. It makes a lot of sense, right? This Magic team, they have a lot of cap space, which we'll get into in a second. And, you know, the Spurs and who else are the big open? I think the Pistons also have a lot of cap space. I feel like I'm missing one other team.
Philadelphia. They're kind of the big one, and it's a weird spot because normally a team that has established all-star guys like Embiid and Maxey aren't sitting on cap space. But the important thing is, yes, they have 60 plus million in cap space, or likely will. But that's all they have is Embiid and Maxey
to get there.
They basically have to clear the deck. The Pistons, about 64 million. I project them to have the most. Then you get into all the teams that are in a similar type range: Utah, Oklahoma City, Orlando, and then San Antonio is kind of a little bit lower on the spectrum with that. So all those teams like Oklahoma City, Orlando, Utah, that's all going to be somewhere between, let's call it 30 and 40 million, likely in space. The Magic could go higher, which I know we'll get into here in a moment. But those teams are all in that range. So it's kind of Detroit and Philly at the top. And then you've got a bunch of teams in the middle. What's very interesting is Orlando and Oklahoma City, two good teams with cap space, fairly rare for teams to be in that spot. And Utah is a team that I think could flip things very, very quickly if they use some of their cap space as well. So we're in a weird spot where a bunch of these cap space teams are actually pretty good. This is not like the dregs of the league that are sitting on a ton of money. And it's like, well, they're going to have to overpay guys to get them. And maybe the Pistons will be there, but everybody else is in a spot where, hey, let's get things moving in a different direction, which makes it a lot of fun.
Hypothetically speaking, if the Magic just kind of like ran it back to an extent, they would have that 20 million like kind of fake cap hold in there to work with.
Yeah.
Or not to work with, but to like force them to be at a certain spending level.
Yeah, they could have that, but that's only the important thing to remember, that only comes in at the start of the regular season. So
gotcha.
At the start of the summertime, you can spend whatever you need to. You could create cap space, operate that way. Where the Magic's projection, I guess we maybe get into that a little bit, gets a little tricky is they have actually very little guaranteed money on their books. They only have about 66 million in guaranteed money on their books. The highest of that is, let me just ask you without looking, do you know who the highest paid player on the roster is for next season right now?
I do. I don't know if the listeners do, and I have some like funny observations. Like, I know most of the players' contracts just by heart, but yeah, it's Jonathan Isaac. If they pick up the option or if they guarantee his contract for next season, he's the highest paid player at $17 million.
Who's the highest paid player with guaranteed money? So we'll take Isaac out of the mix. Do you know who that is?
I do, because like, you know, I was doing some prep for this. Yeah. But here's a funny thing. All right. I had some funny observations. So just to kind of like, give listeners a little bit of peek. The Magic have, I think, 11 players on guaranteed salary for next year, or projected guaranteed salaries.
Yeah.
Depending on if the team like picks up their options or whatever. Cole Anthony will make about $700,000 more than Paolo Banchero next year. Yep. Cole will make, because his extension kicks in at $12.9 million. Paolo is at $12.16 million. Yep. Another funny observation I noticed, Keith, is the Wagner brothers. Mo will make a little bit more than Franz next year. He'll make about, I think, $1 million
more.
Be,
right? As the older brother, he probably should make a little bit.
Yeah, but
talent-wise, no. But
Mo,
sure.
Mo pays Franz rent money.
Well, what's funny is pretty, and that's a, let's say there's a very limited time that that's going to be a thing that he makes more than Franz.
This is the last year.
So my point was with going through all that is, Cole Anthony has the highest guaranteed salary on the Magic next year, which is just gives you a sense of how clean their books are. Because $12.9 million for Cole Anthony has grown into, at a very least, a very solid six-man backup guard. That's fine. That is nowhere near a bad contract or anything. The Magic do not have a single bad contract on their books. Now, where things get very fun, I guess, for lack of a better term, with the Magic is, there are a lot of different ways they can go. I have done their cap space projections. At this point, I probably tweak my cap space projections once every 2-3 weeks in the season, with the big changes coming leading into the trade deadline, obviously post-trade deadline, then now leading into the offseason. I have, earlier in the year, I projected they're going to get out of the Jonathan Isaac contract. They're just going to waive him. He can't ever get on the floor. There's no reason to keep this around. And he started off the year with another injury. So I was like, that's just going to be done. Now I've completely flipped it to Jonathan Isaac stays on the books at $17.4 million because you can't risk waiving him, because then you don't have any control whether you bring him back or not. And now that becomes a risky thing. And is $17.4 million too much for Jonathan Isaac? In my opinion, yes. That is too much considering he's roughly a 20 to 25 minute a night player off your bench, because I don't know if you said, we're going to start Jonathan Isaac every night and hope to get 65 games out of him and 30 minutes a night. I don't think he holds up. I think he'll have another injury and you're going to end up, that was your plan going in, you're going to end up with Jonathan Isaac playing 35 games and minimal minutes. I think that they have finally figured out this. He's past the injuries. Now we know how to keep him on the floor. We know we need to limit his role. But because the rest of the cap sheet is so clean, who cares? $17.4 million is fine. It's not going to hurt anything with that. So now your big decisions come around. Mo Wagner's team option, Joe Ingles' team option, Markel Fultz's cap hold. Those are the decisions that the Magic are going to have to make around the guaranteed money plus Isaac. Plus, I factor Caleb Houston into staying. He barely makes above the minimum. And in this case, Caleb Houston has been, I know fans don't necessarily love it, but he's earned Jamal Mosley's trust, where when somebody else is out, he gets minutes. Now, ideally, hopefully, Caleb Houston is like your 12th guy next year and you're not having to rely on him to play as much. But I can't see them simply saying, we're waiving him. Now, if we get to a point where they need $2 million more in extra cap space to go land player X as a great, you know, trade acquisition or free agent signing, sure, did see you later, Caleb Houston. But for now, I factor him in there. I basically then my tipping point becomes, what happens with Markel Fultz? Because I think they will decline the team options on Ingles and Mo Wagner with the idea of, hey, we'd love to have you back, but we want you back on less money, but maybe more years. Maybe Ingles gets a three-year contract worth $5 million a season or something like that, which makes up the money he would have lost by the team option going away. Mo might be back on, you know, hey, we're going to give you, you know, 3 years, you know, 25, 30 million or something like that, where it's, you know, we're just going to spread things out a little bit more, something in that range, because he's proven to be a very solid backup for them. But that's where we're at with them. That's why I have the Magic right now, very, very conservatively, at about $25 million in cap space. But no, that could go up to 50 with one more move without having to do, you know, much. And that would just be renouncing Markel Fultz. I just have him in for right now just because I don't know that the team is fully ready to say we're done, we're walking away, we don't need the bird rights for him. And but no, they could easily do that and create $50 million in cap space and be right there with all the other players without much of a challenge.
I want to pause for a second and have you explain to the listeners what exactly bird rights and cap holds are and how they go into a place like this, right? A lot of people will see, you know, Markelle Fultz 15, I think that's what he made this year, $15 million, like as a non-guaranteed for net, you know, or, you know, expiring contract, but they don't, they might not understand that there's still a cap hold with that. And how that impacts the team going into the offseason.
Yeah, so the team I've been using for an example when I explain this is Philadelphia. So Philadelphia, we talked about it. They could have $60 million in cap space pretty easily. So in the 76ers case, though, what I said was that's with only Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey left. Because in order to do that, they're going to have to wipe out everything else that they can off their books. Now, what that means is getting rid of the cap holds. What a cap hold is it is designed to mirror a reasonable expectation of the player's next contract. So how that ends up working is if a player was making $30 million and you have full bird rights on them, you're going to see a $45 million cap hold on the books or up to the player's max salary. It could it'll cap out at that amount. So what happens in that place is, now, are all $30 million players going to sign a max deal? No, absolutely not. They're not. But what they're trying to avoid is, let's say Philadelphia, continue to use them as the example. I think most casual fans know to re-sign your own free agents, you can go over the cap to keep them. I think a lot of people understand that concept now. So what if you're using Philadelphia here, Philadelphia, if there was no such thing as cap holds, they would go spend $60 million in cap space through trades, free agent signings, or whatever. Then they'd turn to whatever free agents they wanted to have back. Let's say it's Buddy Hield. Let's say it's Paul Reed, whoever it is. And they would say, we have your rights to re-sign you. Buddy Hield, we're going to give you $15 million a year. And that's how they would stack it up. In order to keep a player's free agent rights, which are what we generally in the NBA we call bird rights, you have to keep their cap hold on your books. Otherwise, what happens is if you remove their cap hold, you lose their free agent rights. So you lose that ability to re-sign them. So what it's basically doing is closing a loophole from a team spending a ton of cap space and then re-signing all their free agents. If you want to re-sign your free agents, you got to keep them on your books. If you want to use cap space, you got to use cap space. You can't generally do both. Some teams are very good. Philly's a good example. They're going to use a mixture of a little bit of both of those to do some of their work this summer. But you can't just come flying in and hey, we spent all our cap space. Now we re-sign everybody. It doesn't really work that way.
Makes sense. And yeah, so in the Magic will have cap holds to keep into consideration for a couple of people, like you said, Markelle Fultz and whatnot. The league is going to have... What is the projected cap space for each team next year? Is it 141 million?
Salary cap?
Yeah, salary cap, sorry.
Yeah, the salary cap for next year projects at 141 million right now. That's maybe a little conservative by the NBA, but part of what's being priced into that projection is there, which the Magic were unfortunately caught up in, was the Bally Sports kind of collapse.
Yeah.
Under Diamond Sports as their head of the programming. And in some markets, that went way worse than it did for Orlando, where it basically it went away entirely and teams were like, all right, we'll take it on. The league will eat the cost and we'll program them through local TV or whatever it is. The league kind of jumped in to try to save the rest of the teams. So because of that uncertainty, that's TV. Everybody gets so focused on the national TV deals. And I get it because those are the billions upon billions of dollar deals. But these are $100 million deals on the local levels. And when you have roughly a third of the league or so in this kind of uncertain environment with what is their local deal going to look like, that leads to some cap uncertainty there. So other things that will impact it right now, it's actually been a fairly short playoffs. We had a lot of short series. We only had the one game seven, the Magic's in the first round. fortunately got two here in the second round, but we've also seen a bunch of series end in like five games in those things. So that's a little bit of a spot where you lose some money because you don't have as many games. So you're not getting as many games on TV. And most importantly, you're not getting as many people through the buildings and those kind of things. So
sure,
the league's being a little conservative right now. And I know people have probably heard, well, they're signing all these new TV deals worth billions upon billions of dollars. Those are next year. Those will be impacted next year. So the 2025 offseason, you'll see the cap go up. We're not going to have a cap spike like what we saw in 2016. Unfortunately, there won't be any Timofey Mozgov and Luol Deng type contracts handed
Dang
out.
Dang it.
Right? Because what they did in the CBA was they said, let's cap how much the cap can jump.
Yeah.
Cap smoothing. So they can only go up 10% at maximum. But that's a little bit of a different thing. So that's a next year thing. So right now we're gotcha. At a spot where probably about $141 million or so next year.
Okay. The Magic right now, like you said, they have anywhere from like 25 to, if they really want to open up the books, the floodgates and get up into like the $60 million range. What is the window of time where they have this flexibility? Because we know players like Franz and Suggs are going to get like a second contract, whether it's extension this year or they figure it out the following season. What's the window the Magic have this ability to bring in a larger contract player?
Yeah, you got about a 2-year window here. It's this summer and next summer. So what's going to happen is this summer, we had just covered it, somewhere between 25 and conservatively, let's call it 55, 60 million. Somewhere in that range, a lot of that, again, depends on all the decisions they make with the players currently on the roster. And some of that will be decided upon what they know right now is,
yeah,
we think we have a chance of trading for player X or signing player Y or whatever. So maybe our best bet is to just keep Mo Wagner for $8 million. We don't need to clear that off the books. So we're not going to need that cap space. So that's all decisions the front office is making. Next year, what's going to happen is you're going to have Franz on a new contract. He's extension eligible this summer. That's probably going to push near a max. I think it'll be very close, if not a max deal. I know some people, he didn't have the season this past year that I think a lot of people wanted to see him have. But I think there's still that first max contract. More guys get it when it's projecting what they really could be versus what they are. Necessarily, it's that second max deal that is more about what are you as a player. So I think there's a world where the Magic, it probably starts with Franz's team saying in extension talks, I want the max. And it probably is the Magic saying, can we do a little bit less? And that's where the negotiation will lie. They'll come back and forth. One thing people love to say is, well, they're going to have to understand, you know, Paolo's getting a max. We want to add talent. That's not how it works. Players don't have to understand anything. They command what they can command. And then it's on the team to figure out the rest of it. You know, that's not Franz Wagner nor his agency's problem necessarily. And he's also not at a point, he's not a 15-year veteran who's just trying to win a ring before he gets right out of there. So he's not, because I had somebody ask me just the other day, well, wouldn't he be better off taking like $25 million a year so that the Magic can really build out the roster? No. Why would he be? The Magic would be better off, sure. Why would he be better off? So
right.
I think I'm starting to use this new term because it was the first time we saw something like this. I'm using it as, I call it the Desmond Bane max, which is, it is a max deal, but only if the player hits all of their incentives, then they get up to a max deal. And I think that's where the Magic could get a little creative. They have not been a team that has favored incentive heavy deals in the past. They've generally said, we're going to pay you a number and we're going to go forward. And there's reasons for that. It gives you far more certainty into things. But they could say with Franz, especially with the huge dip in his shooting, you could put in an incentive where it is, hey, we're going to give you, let's say his max projects to be roughly, I'm going to round it off to about $36 million on that first year in 25, 26. They may say, hey, we're going to do, we'll do $36 million, but $2 million of that is tied up in bonuses if your three-point shot comes back around this coming season. Then you can earn more. That'll push you up to more money and those kind of things. That could be where we go. with this. It wouldn't shock me if that's where it went, because he's not a no-brainer max guy like Paulo will be in 2 years from now. But he is a guy who you don't want to mess around too much, because you mess around too much, you risk angering the player. Then he goes into restricted free agency. Yeah, you can match him, but once you've angered a guy, he usually doesn't go very well for you down the line. So I think they'll get that done. That's all kind of a long way of saying we are at a spot where you've got spending power this summer. You'll have some more next summer, pending how they spend this summer. They go and trade for a guy who makes $40 million. Well, that's going to, and he's got 3 years left. I know some people have talked about Zach LaVine or Donovan Mitchell or whoever. If you went and got a guy like that, well, you did your spending now. You may have a little bit of room to spend in the summer of 2025, but probably not. The reason why it's really a two-year window is by the time the summer of 2026 rolls around, the Magic will be in a spot where Paulo will now be on what I am going to call a no-brainer max.
Right.
Franz a near max, and then you're going to have whatever else you did over the course of the next 2 years on the books as well. So you're in a spot where you're probably going to be very, very expensive at that point. And you're probably, now you're talking about where are we at in relation to the luxury tax and those kind of things versus we've got cap space.
Yeah, I mean, and the team also has to consider someone like Jalen Suggs, who's probably going to make an all-defensive team and was the team's best and most reliable three-point shooter this season at a very respectable volume. And,
best guard on the team by a pretty wide margin this year.
Yeah,
that's for no knock on the other guys. That's more of that's how well Jalen played this season.
He really took that leap, and I think he was even on the most improved like vote list for, I mean, he had like one or two votes, but he made the list, which was pretty cool. Yeah. You know, and that's not going to be a cheap contract. No. Like I like to, when I've been thinking about like those three players, Paulo, Franz and Jalen, I've been thinking about it more in percentages of cap space, because it just, for me with those particular, it makes a little bit more sense to think of it that way. You know, Paulo's max is going to be 25%, you know, Franz,
and maybe 30.
Oh,
and
I guess
Paulo will he'll be, because just so everybody knows, in a max deal, when you sign the extension, you can put designated player language in, which if the player wins MVP or wins Defensive Player of the Year, we'll be realistic. I don't think Paulo's winning either one of those in the next couple of years. But if he's an All-NBA player, which is certainly in possibilities for him, and I would say next season definitely is a possibility that he's an All-NBA guy. You can write the contract up so it jumps to 30% of the cap. And I would assume that's where that will push to, just given what we've seen of him through 2 years. I think they will push for that designated player language. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but
no,
25%,
I'm glad, because I haven't
that's
even
the
been
baseline.
I haven't even been thinking about that. So that makes that's changing my theory a little bit as well. So yeah, 25 to 30% of the team's cap space. You got Franz, who, you know, potentially could get 25% of the team's cap space. But I think for me, I'm like, if it would land closer to 20, that would be perfect. And then you have, you know, Suggs, who potentially, like, I'm thinking maybe roughly around 17, 18% of, like, it's going to be a pretty big contract, I think. You know, again, maybe with incentive base, like, hey, you make all, you know, all defensive team, you know, that checks another, you know, whatever, $2 or $3 million per season. You know, Franz makes all NBA, or like you said, shooting percentages, those things will kick in too. So it's like they have three big guys like in the next couple of years that will probably make some good money. Hold on, I'm going through my notes. So this summer, right, we're the Magic are attached to some big player names like Paul George, who I don't really think is going to happen. But if so, that's going to be probably a max or very near max player on a big deal for the Magic if they want to lure him from the teams like Philadelphia and even the West Coast Clippers teams that he easily could re-sign with. You know, but then they're also attached to names like Malik Monk and, you know, rumors about what happens with the Cavs with Darius Garland and Donovan Mitchell and things like that. Realistically, in your opinion, how do you think the Magic are going to approach this offseason with some of these names and the cap space that they have? Like, we've talked about what kind of power they have. How do you, if you had to take some darts and throw them with a blindfold on at a dartboard, because you and I both know we have no idea really what's going to happen, what would you think might happen this summer with how they use their cap space?
I think it is far more likely they trade for a big name player than sign one, only because there's not that many big name players available in free agency. Paul George is the name now that has been connected. I don't know how much that is real versus that is connecting the dots a little bit of, oh, the Magic have cap space. They could use a guy like Paul George. So they're definitely going to be interested.
Agent sure leverage there too.
Right. Yeah. And I'm sure they are, right? Like I am sure the Magic have interest in some level. I'm sure they have interest in all kinds of really good players. I bet you could even get Jeff Weltman to fully admit and say, yeah, we're interested in just about everybody at some level, because that's true, right? There are all kinds of guys you have interest in. Maybe that interest is this big and that's making a teeny tiny measure, and some is much bigger, but that one I don't know about. So free agency has become a game where only a handful of true all-star level guys hit free agency each summer. And of that handful, only a few of those guys are actually really available. For example, Tyrese Maxey is going to be a free agent this summer. He's a restricted free agent, but he'll be a free agent, but he's not really available. No one's even going to chase him because they already know everything's lined up with Philly. Even a guy like LeBron is available, but how available? Like, probably not really available, right? So that's where you got to start to kind of trim those lists down a little bit when it is you're going to see those guys on free agent lists, but you're just not going to get them. That's not going to be a thing that happens. So now we're talking, all right, Paul George, every day he doesn't sign an extension with the Clippers, that becomes a little more likely that he is available and leaves. But via trade, we're already hearing all kinds of guys that are potentially up for trade. We have heard Donovan Mitchell, that's been endless speculation for like a year now. Zach LaVine is available. The Bulls basically more or less reconfirmed, like, hey, we couldn't trade him at the trade deadline because he got hurt, but we're open to listen this summer, and that probably re-picks up again. We're starting to hear guys like Jared Allen could be available. Darius Garland in Cleveland. The rumor came out, if Cleveland does extend Donovan Mitchell, Darius Garland wants to go. And I think what's good for the Magic is they are in a position where they've got all their own draft picks. They have, I think it's either one or two extra picks still coming. I know they've got the Denver pick.
Denver pick. Then they have like five. Sorry to jump in, but they have the Denver pick next year in 2025, which, you know, low pulling power. That's probably going to be in the high 20s. Sure. You have a 2026 pick swap with the Suns. They traded 2 second-round picks.
Yeah.
But that pick is like, there's a couple other scenarios.
Yeah,
but
Washington's tied up in that. Yeah,
but they do have that. And then I think at this point they have still like 5 extra second-round picks.
Yeah. And honestly, second-round picks, dude, people like to do things when they play fake trade games where it's, you know, all right, we're going to trade cap space, and I'm just completely making this up, but we're going to trade cap space and, you know, X for Jaylen Brown, and we'll throw in 3 seconds. No one cares about the seconds. Like, that's not, those don't swing trades one way or another. So that's just a PSA when people, I don't evaluate fake trades when people send them to me generally, because one, that just opens the floodgates and I get a million of them, and that's not how I want to spend my time.
Sure.
But two, it's people's just values are way out of whack. It's, you know, it's our players are way more valuable than anybody else's, and, you know, you should all give us your stars for our, you know, role players. Like, it's just not how it works. And then they think, well, I made up the difference because I threw in second round picks. No one cares. Those just get thrown in to get thrown in. They're better to have than not have, but it doesn't really matter. But the bigger point was, if you're the Magic, you're well-positioned. If one of these stars becomes available via trade that you want to go get, you have the draft capital to do it. They've got some obviously great cap flexibility to making a trade easier, because you're not in a position where it is, well, we have to send you back player X, Y, and Z. And they're in a position where they could move a couple of these young guys if they wanted to, because you're in a spot where, all right, if we're going after a big fish, something's got to give. So if it turns into Darius Garland, for example, because I've been asked about him kind of ad nauseum here in the last week or so. If the Magic wanted to go after Darius Garland, all right, sure, they can do that. But they're going to have to do something along the lines of probably a pick or two and probably at a minimum like Cole Anthony, something like that. Because I don't think Cleveland's in a position, if they're trading Garland, it's because they kept Mitchell. And they're not in a position where this is a sell-off to rebuild, right? It's going to be, we need some talent back. So that's where it kind of turns a little differently.
I was just on the – on the Garland aspect, I was talking to this with some fans. I was like, I actually don't know if the Magic are great trading partners because they're going to want to stay competitive. And we don't have a lot of great high value vets on this team right now. So I was like, I was starting with Jonathan Isaac as like a baseline, you know, it's like he probably has to be included because I'm assuming they're not going to run it back with both Allen and Mobley. But that's good to know. That's good thinking. I don't want to get too specific. Caught up on a very specific name like that. That's not what this show is about. That is a future show.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I would just say the biggest takeaway is the Magic have put themselves in a position to be players for one of the stars that comes available. And that's great. I always go back to Daryl Morey said in his years working under Danny Ainge with the Celtics before he went to the Rockets, one of the biggest things Ainge taught him was, you never know when a star is going to become available, and all you want to do is be in position to make a real offer. You don't want to have put yourself in a spot where you can't make that offer. The Magic have absolutely put themselves in a position to make a real offer. And the nice thing is now, too, you're no longer making the offer in a trade, because part of a trade is trading for a guy. The second part is convincing the guy to stay and that he wants to be in Orlando. And the Magic aren't making that offer in a place now where it is, hey, come here and help lift this team, help make them grow to be a playoff team. Now what you're doing is, hey, we're there. Now lift us, help us get to the next level. That's a whole different conversation than if this was last summer trying to do this, where it is, hey, we think we can be pretty good and you could be a part of it. Now guys have seen it. Guys are going to say, all right, that team can play. One thing NBA players don't lack for is confidence. A bunch of them will say, yeah, I can be the guy. I can be the guy who gets them into contender status and the like and those kind of things. And that's just a better place to be in too, along with the assets. They've now proven we can win games. Now it's about, hey, help us get even further.
Yeah. I mean, guys, their agents, like guys like Paul George and Klay Thompson a year or two ago would never pick up our phone call, the Magic's phone call. This year, hey, I don't know how real it is, but I want to listen and hear, right? Like I bet that's kind of where the Magic are. And yeah, I mean, they're an attractive fan base, like, or attractive, the team right now with where they're at, how they have established themselves. Also, like, you know, I don't think it has as much pull as a lot of people make it seem to be, but like the state no income taxes is a thing to an extent.
Does have more pull than no state tax thing? It's the nice weather.
Yeah,
because players talk about it all the time. Players are like, I don't want to live anywhere cold. I say this all the time. What is the first thing guys do when the All-Star break hits if they're not going to the All-Star game? They get on a plane and they fly somewhere warm.
Yeah.
Every single guy is like, I'm out of here. I'm going to, Cabo or Cancun or the Caribbean. I'm going somewhere nice and warm in that. And that is a thing. Like, I can't tell you how many guys who have, when they've gotten to Orlando, have said, man, it's 75 degrees in the middle of January. Like, this is amazing. And it really does matter to guys. Like, it's, I don't know that Paul George is going into free agency saying, well, I'm definitely, Orlando's higher on my list because it's nicer than it is in Philadelphia weather-wise. But when it gets down to, all right, if there's some tiebreakers to be made, that's pretty high on the tiebreaker list for a lot of players, is that the tax thing, that's always a little because it helps for sure, but these guys make so much money that most of them, that's more of a thing that gets said than a thing I think most of the players even can't concern themselves with. Because I bet if you asked the players which NBA states don't have income tax, it's maybe a quarter of them can tell you. And that's probably only because some of them have played for the teams in those states already.
Yeah. And to get really weird, like, the players have to pay taxes in every state they play a game in. So it's only a portion of their contract that is actually, the non-income tax aspect of the contract. So, Keith, I know we had we're already over the time that we said we were going to do, but I'm going to ask two more quick questions just to kind of round out this conversation, right? Hypothetically speaking, if the Magic make a big swing via trade or sign a free agent where it's one of these max or near max players, would they also then have space to go sign a solid free agent that's maybe in the 10 to 12, $15 million range? Like an example, this was a listener question, actually. I gave some listeners opportunities to present some questions to us, and we've answered a few of them already. But this is one where it was like, he specifically said, if they signed Paul George, would they also be able to go sign a lesser priced free agent like Malik Monk? I added Hartenstein in there. We don't necessarily have to use those names, but that concept, what is that a possibility? Or if they sign a big name, it's kind of it. And then they're using like minimums to fill out the rest of the roster.
Yeah. If we're doing guys like Hartenstein or Monk, we're in a position where we're talking about they went like the more the $60 million in cap space route, because then $40+ million goes to like Paul George in that scenario, because you're not getting him for less than the max.
Sure.
Then, yeah, you've still got maybe enough money to go spend it on somebody else. What they will have if they go that route is they will have the room exception. So what happens is if you go under the cap, you use whatever you have in cap space, then you get $8 million extra to spend. And that $8 million, that actually goes pretty far, because you would be able to go, we've now through the first, second wave of free agency, a couple other guys are available. And I think what the team can do in that spot is, all right, we're going to go get, you know, another player, second, third tier free agent, guy who thought he was going to get the non-taxpayer MLE somewhere, or a chunk of cap space, didn't get it. Now we can get them for $8 million for a year or two or whatever. You can definitely do something along those lines. I think would be more realistic than going out, signing a max guy, and then having another $15, $20 million. Because the other thing you have to remember, too, is if we go to the point where they have $60+ million in cap space, that does mean like Jonathan Isaac's gone and we really cleared the deck fully. And if we go to that route, what we're really looking at then is you've only got like 7-8 guys under contract and you've got to fill out an entire roster. So you're probably not then taking that $15, $20 million and spending it on one player. You're going to try to get two or maybe even three for that money. So it's possible. I don't want to say it's not possible, but it's just not very likely to go that direction.
That makes a lot of sense. And then my last question is just kind of about two or three players that are currently on the roster, and if we think they will be back or not. Granted, again, there's so many different scenarios that it could very not be. Markelle Fultz, I'm kind of projecting him. I know we're using his cap hold. Like, if they strike out everywhere and they just kind of want to like be safe, they'll bring him back. But I also am like, does he want to come back necessarily? He's been reduced in role. He might want to go, I don't know, I'm just going to throw it out there, like the Spurs or some other team where they can give him a little bit of a bigger role and more minutes. So I'm kind of going to leave him out of this conversation for a second, because he's a hot topic that might need more time. But two guys in particular, Gary Harris and Goga Bitadze. I can never say his last name.
Bitadze.
Bitadze, thank you. Gary Harris, you know, injury prone, but was a good vet for this team in certain ways, kind of didn't have a great playoffs outside of his defense. Goga, you know, limited role, but when he did jump in, for the most part, he played pretty well. What are your thoughts around those two players specifically?
Yeah, I'll start with Bitadze, because I think that one's a much easier thing to answer. I think
there's
a world where he's back on a very similar type contract for the minimum, maybe even a little bit more. If the Magic wanted to do that, I think that's definitely a thing that we could see happen. I think there's a world where, let's say they explore making a big trade, and Wendell Carter Jr. is part of it, then Bitadze is probably more likely to come back, because I think the Magic saw we can plug him in as a starting center. He's more like a 15, 20 minute a night starting center. And I think the playoffs also showed us, as long as you don't go too crazy with it, we can get by with the J.I. Paulo kind of I it's funny, people are like, well, who's the five? And I'm like, neither one of them really. They're both like double four lineup. Like, but you can get by with that for moments. So I think you could cobble together Bitadze, Isaac, Mo Wagner situation where we're okay. Like we've got enough at the five if we trade a Carter. So I think he's fairly likely to return too. Guys also players will give a lot of credit's not the right word, but they'll give a lot of credence to this organization believed in me after I washed out somewhere else. They signed me, they helped me get on track. So I think he's likely to return. Gary Harris is in a very weird spot. I think ideally for the Magic, now what we saw last time he was a free agent, the Magic extended him right before free agency started. But I think what we're likely to see now with Gary Harris is something more along the lines of, we're going to stay in touch, but let's see what else develops. If nothing else really hits for the Magic this summer, then I think you may see them turn and say, all right, Gary Harris, we'd love to have you back. We're going to re-sign you. We're going to bring you back for another year, probably similar-ish kind of money, probably honestly a similar-ish kind of deal structure where it is more of a one-year deal with a second year that's some form of team control, either a true team option or a non-guaranteed type contract. The big question is, what happens with Harris while we're playing that waiting game? Does some other team come in and say, hey, we'll give you our mid-level exception to come in, be part of our guard rotation, and we'll go from there. So that's where that one's a little bit harder to answer.
No, it makes a lot of sense, you know, and he's been valuable for this team, but that's also an area that I think a lot of us fans, sure, media could see him being upgraded at. You know, does he want to accept a different role on this team? Maybe he does. I don't know. But yeah, a little bit more variance there. Keith, we could go on for longer, but we've already been going on longer than we initially agreed on. So I just want to say thank you for this conversation. It was brilliant. I've learned a lot. I know the listeners will get a lot of value out of this. I am going to link the Magic's 2024-25 SpaTrack homepage that you basically manage, from my understanding. So the listeners, you can go to the link in the show description and you can look at all the numbers that Keith and I just talked about. You can see, you know, the player contracts up there and all that stuff. It's brilliant. Keith, any last thoughts? And also any, you know, let the listeners know where they can find your work.
Yeah, you can find my work at SpotTrack. Lots of free agent stuff coming, off-season team previews. Good news is the Magic one isn't up yet because we go in order of elimination. So they have, unfortunately, over the years been one of the first ones we write. This year they're in the back half, which is great, right? That's
good,
great
news.
Great sign there. You can also check out NBA Front Office Show if you really like the cap and roster and transaction discussion. Trevor Lane and I do that every Monday through Friday each day. We do that. We're kind of in our peak period of the year where it is a lot of off-season talk and those kind of things. And every Friday we do Front Office Friday, which is a live show where we take most of that is questions from the viewers and watching. We have a lot of fun on those Friday shows. They get a little weird sometimes because sometimes they're not basketball questions and we get into other stuff, but we have a lot of fun with that. So check that out. And then you check out the Basketball Bulletin, which is myself and Trevor's kind of written work is there. Right now we're being carried by Bryce Simon. I'm Magic fans. You're deeper in the draft than you're used to, way deeper in the draft than you're used to being. Bryce has covered, I think we're up to like 31 total players so far. They'll probably be well into the 40s by the time the draft kicks off. So if you want to learn more about this draft class, which isn't one of the kind of prime, we know all these guys and all that stuff drafts, this is a great way to do it. He's got really good in-depth scouting notes on all those guys. Bryce does a wonderful job covering the team. And last thing I'll leave you with, Jeff Weltman says this like all the time. It's a great time to be an Orlando Magic fan. It's really true now. It really is a great time to be an Orlando Magic fan because this team is really well set up moving forward.
Keith, it is a great time to be a Magic fan. It's a great time to cover the Magic as media who are trying to, you know, do our best to, you know, give content to this world, you on a much better and bigger scale than I am. But I appreciate you giving your time to us today. It's always nice to connect again. who knows, maybe after the craziness of free agency, we'll do a recap gathering, later in July when the dust has settled. I will link all of the information you said, the show, the Substack. I'll link all that stuff for listeners, so make sure you can check those out. They'll be in the show descriptions. We'll see you on our next episode of The Close Up. Thanks, Magic fans, for tuning in, and thank you, Keith. Peace.
NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. If approved, applications are typically funded the next business day or sooner. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Dogs are an important part of our lives. That means protecting them from parasites. Ask your vet about NexGard Plus, a Foxolaner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. NexGard Plus chews provide one-and-done monthly protection against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. Plus, they're delicious and easy to give. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventive. Ask about NexGard Plus Chews.
The South Dakota Stories, Volume 7. My trip to South Dakota was the best summer ever. Now I don't need to go to Mars, because I've been to the Badlands. And I caught a bigger walleye than Dad when we went to the Missouri River. Then I rode my bike through these huge rocks called needles. Ooh, I also saw my first herd of bison, even a fuzzy furry baby one. I can't wait to go back and see more. There's so much South Dakota, so little time.
Give your home a beautiful makeover with flooring options from Menards. Update your room with flooring from Tarkett. From easy-to-install sheet vinyl, waterproof vinyl plank, to durable laminate flooring, Tarkett has the perfect style for you. Grovewood laminate flooring is stain, scratch, and dent resistant and designed with busy families in mind. Save big money on our wide variety of flooring options in-store or on Menards.com for more great deals now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.